Service Voices is made at and broadcast from Radio Adelaide. But there's a good chance you could be listening online anywhere in the world, or on another Australian community radio station through the National Community Radio Network, or CRN. Let's listen now to a woman who first came to our attention because of the 10-part series she'd made for CRN distribution. Nikki Page started this conversation by asking Roz the background to the series. It's called Sounds of Nature.
Well, I'm a great lover of nature and lover of making radio packages, so I had also been on the CRN mentoring and judging, you know, the applications that came in, and I thought, well, I think I could probably make a 10-part series about the sounds and birds and animals that we live with on this beautiful continent. So I set to and did my research, and David Stewart is a Mullumbimby man. He's one of the premier bird sound recordists in Australia, and David said that I could use his field recordings, most which are available on CD on his website, but he also had some that were rare and endangered species that I was given permission to use. So I always acknowledge David and great work.
Terrific. Well, I'll ask you about CRN too. You mentioned CRN. Perhaps just hold off on that for a moment, because I wanted to ask you about Old Times, Old Crimes. You were credited on that, and it was produced by Triple Z in McLaren Vale. Tell us about that series.
Well, I'm a member of the Community Radio Network Advisory Committee, who puts out the call for the segments, and when the one from 5ZZZ came in, I was actually going to be going home. That is my hometown, my birth town, McLaren Vale. And I said to the people from CBAA, well, you know, if those people needed mentoring, I would be very happy to meet with them. And that's what happened. I went home to stay with my 96-year-old mum in McLaren Vale, and I met up with Stephen. And I met the historians who were from the Wollonga branch of National Trust, and, you know, we had a brainstorming session of what would be applicable for a national audience. And they got to, and, you know, they took on board any suggestions. They were really wonderful to work with. And then afterwards, you know, I listened to some of the segments before they were submitted. So it was wonderful working collaboratively with Stephen and the two historians. So it was great.
And a great series, really fascinating stories and beautifully produced with sound effects and so on. Say a bit more about the Community Radio Network, the CRN. What does that do?
Well, most stations try to provide their own content, which is good, but some stations don't have enough presenters or content for their 24 hours a day. So the Community Radio Network is provided by the peak body, the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, and stations can put up onto the satellite really well-produced stories, segments, shows, and then other community stations can, they have a dish on their roof and they drag them down from the satellite. It's going to be going digitally fairly soon. It's a sharing of resources around Australia and give very good content to smaller stations, rural or, you know, regional stations. So it's a great resource for all community radio stations.
And your role there at CRN?
The Community Radio Network has an advisory committee. Community broadcasters can put our name forward to serve our sector on that committee, and I put my name forward about 4 years ago. I've just been reappointed for another two. We have a phone hookup around Australia, and we get to listen to content that is being put forward by stations to be put up onto that community radio network, and it all has to be listened to and vetted and advice given, you know, to make it as good as possible. So that's the sort of role that I have. I do a lot of listening to wonderful content that's made all around Australia and offering my two bob's worth of how it could be improved, or just a big tick if it doesn't need any improvement.
Wonderful. So I don't know how and when you first got involved in community radio, Roz. Can you tell us that story?
I got involved in about 2000 in my local area. There's a community radio station, 2 Bay FM. And I'd done my science degree in botany and zoology and ecology, and I was the land care coordinator, and I was organising these meetings for land care, and only a few community members would come along. So that's when I thought, oh, I'll get a radio show. But before that, I actually travelled in West Africa. I went to Mali in West Africa, and I met a radio person there. He was the manager of Radio Liberté, free radio. It had just been made free, and I interviewed him there, and I realised how powerful radio was, that, you know, everybody has got a little radio, or if they don't, they group together and listen to somebody who does. It is a fantastic medium if people are illiterate. It's a wonderful medium. But also for our busy lives, lots of people don't like to read a lot. So radio can provide the information that's needed in a more passive way than sitting down reading. So after I came back from West Africa, I got involved in my station. I did the Go Earth Care show, which I did for about 12 years once a week. And that was a good news radio show, you know, human rights, social justice, environmental issues, but the good news side of how people strive to make a change in our world. So I did that. I got involved in management. I was on the management team for about 11 years, and I was the president for 3, and that was a great, you know, lots of work, but it was a wonderful experience to help run my community radio station.
Roz, tell us some of your highlights then of your community radio career, which is still thriving.
Well, I won 2 national awards, and that was a great highlight for me to be, you know, chosen amongst my sector as a wonderful radio producer. Winning the award was terrific. And being involved in my community and knowing how powerful community radio can be, being part of that was a great privilege. And then you know, I studied and got my certificate in radio broadcasting, and then I got the opportunity to be an Australian volunteer for international development in Kenya, being involved in teaching how to make better radio. So I got to live in Nairobi for a year and travel around Kenya and find out what making radio on a shoestring is really about.
Say a little bit more about that experience.
Oh, well, you're thrown in the deep end. I have done a lot of international travel in majority world, you know, third world, whatever you would like to call them. I'd travelled a lot, but I'd never been in one place and worked in an organisation. So I worked for a non-government organisation, which was a civil rights and education and awareness about gender equality, and they had a media arm, and then I worked with that media arm, and we had to organise making TV ads. And I think the best time I had was when we left Nairobi, 4 of us in a motor vehicle, and we travelled around Kenya to pre-organised training sessions, 3 days at a time in these different places, because they had just brought in the new constitution in which women were recognised as having rights. They were able to have property, you know, and equal rights with men. So teaching people how to make good news stories about women, not focusing on the bad side all the time. And so that was fun. And, you know, using plastic bottles as make-believe microphones to, you know, in the sessions. I really understood how passion for making radio can drive people. They didn't even have a computer in their radio station. Each one had a little telephone and they did all their research on the telephone, everything by themselves, and, you know, they had to pay for their credit. It was really dedicated, passionate radio makers, and they were terrific. I loved working with those people. When I got there, the NGO had the media arm, and they told me that they had radio. And so when I got there, they had a little radio studio in a container. It was set up very well, but it wasn't going through the air and being picked up by radios. They were making radio for the internet. They were broadcasting online to about 25 people. You know, they could tell how many there were. And it was development-based radio, you know, health issues and clean water and gender-based violence, all of those community issues. And I sort of said to them, well, we need to get our content out on air. So we took our content to one of the largest informal settlements where there's something like 1 million people live. We got our content onto their Kibera community radio station, and they had a footprint about 2 kilometres. Under that footprint were almost 1 million people. They were thrilled to be getting their really good content out to people who had their little radios, you know, instead of having to have data to get internet radio. So they were very happy about that step that we achieved.
Maybe you've already answered this question. I was going to ask you, what is it that you love about community radio? You've dedicated so much of your time and energy.
You know, some people don't realise that all media in Australia have a code of practice that is legally binding. The code of practice of community radio, I believe, makes community radio the basis of a very good functioning society and democracy. Because our guiding principles are that we must include people who don't have a voice elsewhere. We must not exclude people on race, religion, gender, you know, sexual preferences. So it's very, very inclusive. Having broadcasting in your local community, it actually weaves a net of knowing, caring and understanding and creates less fear. That's why I love community radio, because it can make our world a better place.
What are the challenges working in the community radio world?
Well, there's a lot of technology to take on board, you know, it is still a male-dominated arena of media, and some, you know, women are fearful of technology, so that's a step that we need to have more women involved. You have to have a certain amount of ego to be a good radio person on air. But I think sometimes ego can be taken too far and people forget how to work in a team. So teamwork and collaborative working is how I believe our world should be. And sometimes that's not happening in a community radio organisation or a youth service, you know. When you get people together, it's a great skill that needs to be learned to say, oh, that's okay, I don't get my own way this time.
Yes, those social skills are needed in all organisations, and very good summary, I think, of some of the challenges that we do face. Finally, Ros, recording this for our program Service Voices, produced in Radio Adelaide but networked across the country via the CRN. Do you see your work in community radio at all levels? Do you see that as service?
Yes, most definitely. First of all, it engages my heart and mind. You know, we all need to be engaged in something that gives us a bit of juice and, you know, we continually enjoy. You know, you only get one go at this life. You might as well be doing something that you really enjoy doing. But I'm a follower of Buddhist principles, and being kind and being helpful and being of service to our community, to our species, and to the earth itself, because we are only the earth standing up in human form. Being of service is what we should do in our life. Like the Dalai Lama says, being generous, it's actually a selfish thing to do, he says, because it makes the person who's being generous feel really good. So you're doing something good and you feel good about it as well. So being of service, of course, that's what I believe my life is about.
Thank you, Roz. That's really beautifully put. I certainly can relate to that.
Nikki Page there talking to Roz Elliott, proving that you scratch a community broadcaster and there's always an interesting story, and that community radio itself is a way of serving community.